Welcome, everyone. The special report is going to our TMP community. I'm going to ask you not to forward this message on. It's meant to encourage you and clarify what you're seeing so you can frame it for the others that you lead with a biblical framework on everything that's going on here in the Middle East. I'm Jeff Gearhart here with Bob Shank, and we want to give you a word on the weekend's events, which started with a surprise attack on Israel on Saturday morning, October 7th. You may be hearing news from the traditional media or social media, but we have direct connections with the front lines and would like to share with you more than what you're seeing on the news and help you make biblical sense of this. Bob, thanks for leading in this, jumping in with both feet this morning. Bob, these are incredible times with what we're seeing.
They are, and as we have talked about this morning already, all news is filtered through a grid. You can pick your voices and knowing their backgrounds and what they're out to advance and accomplish will tell you the bias that they're working with. Unfortunately, our American media have biases that they often don't disclose, but it doesn't take long to listen to them and their version of the news to begin to discover what their bias is and what they're hoping to advance as a cause they want to advance rather than an objective, overarching sort of panorama of what's really going on. We approach the world that we live in through a biblical worldview. And that is not the one that is preoccupying the headline dispersion today. We want to do that. And I appreciate the fact that Tom isn't speculating based on a flash that came through his phone this morning from some news source in America. It's coming from the front lines. It's from the people involved in ministry in their world that they have real-time updates coming from this morning. I'm looking forward to hearing from Tom about what's really going on.
That's right. Here with us is Tom Doyle, the founder and CEO of Uncharted. And Tom, we're going to ask you some questions because we'd really like to, just as Bob said, get a frontline viewpoint on what's going on. And then after that, Bob, you're going to give your viewpoint on this from a biblical framework and how we can be thinking of this for our leadership. Just to table set what we're talking about, as I mentioned, you all know that Saturday, this past Saturday, October 7th, will be a day that will forever change the state of Israel. And it's 9.73 million inhabitants from the south by air, land, and sea. Hamas militants launched a surprise attack. Moving across the desert, they drove mercilessly by hundreds of people attending a concert and gunning them down. They moved into the streets of Sderot and Ashkelon, going house to house, killing and kidnapping. From mothers and their babies to grandmothers, we've witnessed atrocities that are beyond the pale. Immediately, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced that Israel is at war with the terrorist organization Hamas. Unlike the Yom Kippur War started 50 years ago, this past week, this war is against terrorist operatives, not a state. 50 years ago, it was Egypt and Syria trying to run over Israel during its holiest annual holiday. Now, today, Hamas, Hezbollah, and their financial supporters, Iran, have made it clear this operation is for keeps. In other words, they are fighting for land and control. They're not just trying to throw a punch and run away this time. And now, this, while we are seeing bold continued attempts to start the process of building the third temple, in the depraved minds of the terrorists in Iran, they have no answer to which government or group would be in charge of an Israel without Israel. Not only would they like to be in control of the Temple Mount, but so would Turkey's Prime Minister Erdogan. We have never seen a time like this, and we have to understand that the environment is one where Israel is going to attempt to annihilate Hamas, working to change the whole dynamic of Gaza and the West Bank. To be clear, there are innocent Palestinian people who are caught between a corrupt terrorist organization and a highly amped Israeli government who wishes to enact more vengeance than the bloodshed they've endured already. The amount of human loss on all sides will be very high. In addition to combat, thousands of rockets are being shot by Hamas into Israel, which is testing the limits of the Iron Dome system that Israel has to prevent these rockets from their targets. Now, as Tom talks here in a minute, you may want to pull out a map to understand this. Gaza is in the southwestern coastal area of Israel. The West Bank is on the eastern side of Israel, but it's on the west bank of the Jordan River. Lebanon is to the direct north, where its southern border with Israel. The Iranian-backed terrorist group Hezbollah is based. There are also reports of rockets from not only Gaza, but now in the north from Hezbollah and Lebanon shooting there. It's well known that the Republican Guard of Iran have put operatives in Syria. Syria's borders are just to the northeast with Israel. Not to forget, Turkey is pushed way to the south into Syria and would very much like a revival of the Ottoman Empire. The wolves are at the borders, hoping to be unleashed on all sides against Israel. And this is a concerning time with which we see the potential for biblical events to be sped up. However, this is not a time to be afraid. We understand with certainty what the ending looks like. It's a time for godly leadership. It's a time for us to be in God's word and to be certain that God's in control. And as Bob and I have already said, we've got a special friend, dearest friend, Tom Doyle, who is the founder and CEO of Uncharted Ministries. Tom and his wife, Joanne, have been long-term missionaries in Israel and the Middle East. Specifically, their ministry is to the persecuted churches. They help followers of Jesus to stay faithful and grow in Christ. Tom, welcome. Tell us what you're seeing. Give us an outlook on your point of view and some of the things that are going on in Israel that we haven't heard about.
Okay. Well, thank you guys. Pleasure to be with you. We'll just set the scene, what's happening in the country, and then we'll talk about some of the things that God's doing. But there's no explanation for it. Israel has the best security in the world, incredible intel. We've been in the Gaza Strip ministering when one terrorist got out into Israel and they were shot. One. What happened just a few days ago were over 2,000 terrorists ran into Israel, started shooting, kidnapping people, just creating havoc, kidnapping them on motorcycles, taking them back in. Israel was completely caught off guard, which is rare that that happens, but it is reminiscent of the Yom Kippur War 50 years ago. So we always say this, the physical war on the ground is just a reflection of the spiritual war raging in the heavenlies. So evil forces came together to do this. And one thing we know about Islam is this, it's split several different ways. You got the Sunnis, you got the Shiites, you have all these different factions, the Wahhabis in Saudi Arabia, then other groups that it's for them terrorist led. That's all it's about. But there is one thing they come together over, and that's the chance to destroy Israel. So I think for people that are worried about the polarization in our country, it just got worse. The devil just drove a wedge in worse because there's already protests where there's Israelis supporting Israeli, pro-Israel on one side, pro-Palestinian on the other, and the world is starting to take sides. So Israel was backpedaling. And I think the sad thing, guys, is as we've talked to our Israeli friends in Israel, we've heard this over and over, we don't know one family or one friend that hasn't said, I have a nephew that was killed. I have a cousin that's in the hospital. Everyone's affected by this. It was fast and furious, and Israel has been backpedaling ever since. It's better than it was. And of course, Israel's gone into Gaza to do a lot of damage. So we're not only praying for Israelis, for the Jewish in Israel, we're also praying for Palestinians that hate the government. And in fact, guys, that's one thing that Jews and Palestinians agree on in Israel. Here's one thing. They both hate Hamas. They can't stand them. They're horrible to the people. Israel is warning the Palestinians about bombings and things that are coming. So it's a terrible situation, but it's not only that alone. We've got to watch that northern border. Because in Lebanon, Hezbollah is armed to the teeth. They're also financed by Iran. The last time we were there, we were in the Bekaa Valley. And one of our believers that we work with, former Muslim in Lebanon, pointed out a mountain. It's large and kind of reminds you maybe of Mount Tabor in Israel, something like that. Almost looks like a tell, you know, where they have the layered civilizations, archaeologically a tell. And he said, my friend said, Tom, do you see that mountain there? And I said, yeah. And he said, It's not a mountain. It's a fake mountain. He said, it's an arsenal for Hezbollah. They have tanks, they have rocket launchers, they have weapons, they have everything they need to start a major war with Israel. So Hamas, it's been horrible what they've been able to do. Hezbollah exponentially could do more. So we are praying, because if this goes to where Hezbollah breaks through or there's a big, huge battle, it just went from a war inside Israel to a regional war. And a regional war is always just a half step from a world war, because then the big powers start to take sides. And we know who China and Russia are going to side with. And so that's the situation there. And then, of course, Palestinian friends in Gaza, some of them are former Muslims that are new believers, and sending us text messages. And it's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking. And I don't know if we can get into this now, but I received a text message from a former Muslim that was privileged to lead to Christ, Muhammad, in the Gaza Strip. And this is what he said last night. He says, "How are you, dear brother Tom? We ask the Lord Jesus Christ that your family is well. My wife is in Darabella refugee camp, which is a tough one. I'm in Khan Yunis. It's in another area in Gaza. He was visiting his father, who's sick, and then everything breaks out. He couldn't get back. The situation is very difficult. We ask the Lord Jesus Christ to protect us." And then he says something that we're never going to see on the news, guys. "Our condolences." This is from a former Muslim, Mohammed, living in Gaza. "Our condolences to my Israeli brothers who died. And we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to have mercy on them, forgive them, dwell with them." And then he just starts talking from his heart. "Hamas knows no mercy. They are criminals. We ask the Lord Jesus Christ to take revenge on them." And then it goes dead for a while. Then very terrible scenes of brothers, of killing of the Israeli brothers. "I want to tell my Israeli friends that I love them as I love the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, how's that from a former Muslim? He says, "Now the bombing has become very intense and close to us. We ask the Lord Jesus Christ to protect us." It goes back down. Then later, very violent bombing. And what Muhammad often does, guys, when it gets so intense in the Gaza Strip, he will sign off. And really, it serves as his goodbye if he doesn't make it. I mean, it's just heartbreaking to think about that, but that's the reality he lives in. He says, "I love you as I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for us." And then I don't hear from him the rest of the night. This morning he picks it up. He made it. But this is what he said, guys. He said, "It's true that they've kidnapped people. They brought them to Gaza, and I saw them with my eyes, in tears in my eyes. It is a very terrible sight to see women captured. There's no mercy in their hearts. They are criminals. I cry for my Israeli brothers. They are human beings." Wow.
Heartbreaking.
That's an eyewitness news right there, seeing them coming in with the women that they have and the children. It's horrific. It really is.
Tom, you know, we have seen Holocaust survivor ministry, and what's been interesting is we've been able to go to Israel with you several times, is that the people that live right next to Gaza and Sderot, Ashkelon, and some of these tough spots, they're there because it's, as you've explained, the least cost real estate in Israel, and it's also the most dangerous. And being there and living there, a lot of these that were Russian Jews who came and lived, but they were Holocaust survivors, moved into those low rent districts that are at high risk. Now you've got a team there. I understand that they've been caring for them, but I imagine instead of just protecting them in bomb shelters, they've got to have you know, a sword in one hand essentially to try to fend off any nonsense or try to keep evil at bay. What's going on there?
Well, you know, that was really where everything started to happen. You had the party to the east outside of the Gaza Strip, where they broke through the fence, the bulldozer, the motorcycles come out, they're kidnapping, they're killing people. But then they went into Sderot. And, you know, Jeff and Bob, you've been there. We have a place that we have reserved for Holocaust survivors that come and have a little community there and reaching them, you know, for the Lord. Also have a lot of events there. Right now, that place that we rent, there's Israeli tanks parked in the parking lot right in front of it. Police would come. If you remember, sometimes Jewish Orthodox would try to break up these kind of meetings because we're sharing Christ. They don't like that. So we'd always have police officers there just in case something broke out, front door, back door. All the police in Sderot were slaughtered. None of them are left. The police station that we would go by on the way to our house, where we are, it serves also as a safe house, is gone. It was either blown up or lit on fire, but it's no longer there. So they just struck with high intensity, caught everybody off guard. But to show you how the Lord moves in times like this, there's a Holocaust survivor that just came to faith in Christ at 99 years old. 99. His name is Abraham. And Abraham has a great way to witness. He says, I'm 99. I don't have much time left. So listen to me. You know, I've got something to tell you. And so he walked out and heard commotion in the street and didn't know what was going on. He's now 100 years old. He walked out and his next door neighbor was down on the ground and he thought, what has happened? He didn't realize she was shot. Then the son comes out. He gets shot in the back. Is shot in the head, he's dead. And there's Abraham right there in the midst of all these terrorists, and they just move on. And he walks back into the house and says, I don't even know how I'm alive. The Lord has me here for a purpose. Came face to face with Hamas, and he walked away from it. So that was the chaotic scene in Sderot. It's still not nailed down. The ministry, you know, Jeff, that we work with, that we helped set this up together. What they did is they tried to get some of the Holocaust survivors out to Jerusalem where it was more safe. And so this was yesterday, and they got them in cars and they started to go up that highway up the coast, and you'll go by Ashkelon and Ashdod toward Tel Aviv and then hang a right and go east to Jerusalem. As soon as they got out of Sderot and were up about 10 miles, all of a sudden terrorists come on the highway and start shooting. There's live action. There's Holocaust survivors in the cars. It still wasn't nailed down yet. Many terrorists had not been captured. So that's how unstable it's been. But we just praise God that there have been people saved. We found out that about 100 at that party, 100 Jews were hiding in a drainage ditch, and they were not discovered, and they're okay. But this is, it's nonstop. I mean, Hamas just announced that they're going to start executing the prisoners if Israel doesn't stop the bombing and the incursion as they're going in. So it's dark. It's really dark. But again, Jesus is on the throne. He's wooing Israel to recognize him, to come to him, to look upon him whom they pierced. He's coming to Palestinians. They're sick of what they're experiencing in their religion. Very open to God's word and to Jesus. So silver lining is God hasn't given up on Israel, and his heart is big enough to love both Jew and Arab. And he's reaching out to both of them. So,
Tom, you guys have tools and teams to go after this. You've been a part of first response in the Middle East before. What does that look like? You have the ability and the people on the ground to support and help the situation with the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
How can we be involved with you? What are ways with which our community can be, a part of what you're doing and what your team's doing there to support the people on the ground?
Thank you. Well, we're privileged to have a big team in Israel working with Holocaust survivors and their children and trying to lead Jews to faith in Christ. Also have a smaller team in Gaza, but they've even rented a building. These are all Muslim background believers. I mean, if they're discovered, it's the end of their life. It's over. And they have a secret underground location where they bring Muslims who are open to the gospel, and they'll send us pictures. There'll be 20 people in there, and they're singing songs, and they're feeding them, and they're They're reading scripture. I mean, this is really, this is warfare. And definitely put on the armor of God every day before they go out. It's not figurative. They're right in the middle of the battle. So we're thrilled to have teams there that have a gospel heart to lead people to faith in Christ, to disciple them, help plant a church, and it'll certainly look different there. But we're thrilled that that's happened. We're not big number counters. We always say this, extreme, unwavering, high risk, because every soul matters. So that's what we always say, every soul matters. But this one we thought was worth sharing is that 2 years ago, 80 Holocaust survivors came to faith in Christ, and almost all of them were baptized in the Jordan River. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't get any better than that when you think of the age and how God has rescued them. Same thing in the Gaza Strip. Less than 3% actually like Hamas. So that accounts for every single person that works for them, right? Everybody else hates them. And so Muslims are having dreams about Jesus. They're seeing things on the internet. They're open. And we get pictures and stories of the latest that have come to faith in Christ. And it's beautiful. I think the spiritual result that we love, it's great to see the salvation, but the transformation. So when you have a former Muslim living in Gaza that says, I used to hate Jews and blamed everything in my life on them. And then I realized when I came to faith in Christ, I've never met one Jew in my life. And so one of our friends, Mahmoud in Gaza, said this. He said, you know, I decided when I came to faith in Christ, Tom, I wanted to be a full disciple. And I said, okay, well, I think I know where you're going with that. And he goes, yeah, I want to do everything that Jesus did. Say everything he says, I want to do. So I started reading Matthew, again in the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the first things that just slapped me in the face was love your enemy. And he said, for me, that was pretty easy to identify. They're across the fence. They're the state of Israel, and I hate them. And so, but I'm going to be a full disciple. I got to pray through this. So I prayed, Lord, forgive me for hating Israel and Jews and dancing in the streets when they were killed. Forgive me for that. He said, I expected tolerance, and that was it. He said, but I realized this, it was a supernatural hatred. And when I came to faith in Christ and confessed that, it became a supernatural love to where I love them. He said, yes, we're getting rockets back from Israel, but I find myself praying for Jewish brothers and sisters in the faith. And we get, you know, guys, the UN can't make that happen, right? No. This just comes straight from Jesus. And so to see the transformation, it just brings joy to our heart and hope for us. It really does.
Yeah, well, there's no political solution here. Jesus is the only answer. Tom, we invited you because we wanted to connect on this and hear what you were seeing, what your team was seeing. But we're a generous community of people, and we want to participate with what you're doing. In fact, here in this email, for those of you that are listening, you can see the link that I'm going to have in there, which is going to be a link to the Uncharted Ministries page with which you can donate to this. We can wait on government subsidies. You can hope that someone else is going to do that, or we can get involved. And Uncharted Ministries is a great way to do just that.
And full disclosure that if you do the DNA check, do ancestry.com on Uncharted Ministries, you'll find that they came to life under the umbrella of Priority Living, our ministry, and were there until they got their own independence granted by the IRS. And so they're a fully stand-alone ministry that God is blessing, but they're part of our ministry family. So we have a absolutely unchecked commitment to who they are, what they do, and their credibility as a supplier of the love of God in tangible ways.
My gosh, thank you, Bob. Thank you. We're spiritually connected, you know, at the hip, and we thank you. You helped us with vision, with formation, with everything. I remember, Jeff, when we first started, you said, I think we probably need about 750,000 to get us started. And I remember thinking, well, where's that going to come from? Which is kind of how the ministry is done. We start a ministry and then the money comes in, which is a good way to keep you on your knees. But if anybody does want to support, it says support Jewish and Palestinian believers during the war. Give now on the Uncharted Ministries site. So thank you. But can I tell you a rescue story? Can I tell you something that just happened? So if I'm not making sense, forgive me, Joanne and I, we have had a couple hours of sleep the last three nights with everything happening. We had some dear friends that checked on us. Are you in Israel? No, we're not there. I said, okay, we're relieved. We have a friend that's a missionary that was working in the West Bank, and she is trapped in a very dangerous location and hiding. And we just know that she's going to need to get out. So here's what we found out, that it was a young girl who was less than 30 years old, American, very American looking, worked with a team that kind of got out, was outside of the West Bank when everything broke loose. She's been hiding in a house for 3 days under a blanket. And so our friends sent this message to us saying, can you reach out? So I reached out and said, hey, we're friends of your friends, and can I call you? And it came back all caps, absolutely. And she started to tell us what was going on. And what she was seeing, guys, was this, the Toyota trucks going up and down the street patrolling with terrorists in all black. And then the Vendetta masks, you know, those porcelain masks with the mustache and the pointy beard, it looks like Satan himself. And they are pulling people out of houses. They're harassing them. Who knows what they're doing? Here's this 28-year-old girl by herself under a blanket talking to us. So we thought, what are we going to do? Well, we started calling people. Tommy and Josh, our sons, started calling people, and Josh found the right guy to get in there. And they said, oh, well, we hear Bethlehem's probably okay. It's not bad right now, you know. And they said, no. This is a girl that is 28 years old. She's an American. She's been alone for 3 days. And they said, we got to get her out. And someone drove in and got in to where she was. She walked outside. She was dressed in Muslim garb to just blend in, hopped in the car. They sped to the border. She pulled that clothes off. The Israelis welcomed her. They were shocked to see that there was an American in there. And she got out, and I'm telling you, Josh was watching, you know, through WhatsApp, the progress and where the car was and all this. It felt like a movie. It felt like a movie. And she got out and said, I think I'd be dead if we didn't get out. I seriously think I'd be dead. You know what happened, guys? A couple hours later, they closed the border. No one's getting in and no one's getting out.
Wow.
They've been stuck. So the Lord set it up, orchestrated the whole thing. Oh, yeah.
Praise God. Well, we continue to pray for them, pray for you. Grateful, Tom, for the Uncharted team and everything that you guys are doing to bring Christ as an answer, as the answer to this conflict. Bob, when you and I got on the phone earlier this morning and we were recounting everything that we saw, including the fact that we were together last week at the Sprint to the Finish gathering and talking about men and women who know the times and have decided to be strategic with the times. Bob, give us a viewpoint on how we should be thinking about this biblically in light of these events, understanding that we've got an eye towards what does Scripture say and how we should be praying for these people.
Well, thanks. The last thing we should do is to engage with anxiety, because having the truth of God and the end from the beginning under His control removes our sense of anxiety. It doesn't mean that we don't suffer loss. It doesn't mean that we're not concerned or care, but we're not anxious because it's in God's control. Right now, the debate is underway. I heard a report this morning with an interview from the American Secretary of State who said, we have no evidence that Iran is working through Hamas or Hezbollah. Well, I'm sorry, but You don't have to look very far to see the influence of the evil state player in what's going on right now in the Middle East. But that is even an insufficient understanding of the forces at work. There will be some people who try to frame their version of Bible prophecy and see something that's happening this week to advance their agenda of describing where we are in terms of the end times. And there will be debates that go on about that that will lose the focus of what really is happening right now. What's really happening right now is that God is the one who's working through surrogates to accomplish his purposes. And if you, I'll abandon the question of what about Bible prophecy, and I'll instead look at what about Bible history, because Bible history tells us how God has operated in overseeing the affairs of mankind on planet Earth from creation to now. And one thing is true is when God put the Jews in the promised land, he put them there with some expectations. We call it the Ten Commandments. It's given us something to take out of schools. But with the Ten Commandments, God made it clear from the top, you will have no God besides me, no idols, no images. It's me. That's the bottom line. And to the degree that they've strayed from that historically, God intervened often through surrogates to bring judgment. One of the things that I just picked up in some of the reporting and on the this morning on the NBC News website, their report that this musical festival that we've been hearing that was attacked and was the setting for hundreds of deaths by Hamas hands, that one of the features of that festival was a massive statue of Buddha surrounded by prayer flags. And I thought immediately of the American Burning Man Festival that takes place in the Nevada desert, where it isn't a Christian retreat where they're getting together to have speakers and sing worship music. It's an all-out hedonistic opposition to all things that characterize God and his holiness. Well, sadly, that music festival was anything other than a faith gathering of Jews during one of their holiest times of the year. These people were getting together, and if there was any religious influence there, it was Buddha and prayers in the light of Buddhism. Now, the terror that hit left hundreds dead. Could it be that the God of the Old Testament is still in power, and the God who has exhibited his opinion of being violated and disparaged by his creation allowed the Hamas intrusion into that place? And while it's sad to look for the spiritual dimension in what's happening today below the headlines, it's going to be a real challenge, because the world is convinced that all of the cause and effect is within the control of man and people and governments and forces on the ground. The greatest force is the force in the heavens. And he's using people as knowing or unknowing surrogates to accomplish his purposes. Now, we're on the defense in Israel, but here's the great news. God is on the offense around the world today, and the invasion of the enemy territory that is represented by the evil one holding people groups back from the gospel is being broken down as the forces of God's army, and that's men and women like us who are taking the gospel in creative ways and strategic plans into places where they're still waiting to hear the name of Jesus for the first time in their heart language. And so let's not disparage by the security breaches that have led to this dramatic intrusion into Israel and their national sovereignty. Let's recognize that we need to be supportive of them on one hand, while continuing to carry the banner of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is getting the word of his redemptive salvation offer to the last known people groups. We had 3,500 of those 25 years ago who had never been penetrated with the gospel. We're down to the last 50. And as that happens, the conditions under which the Lord Jesus can and will return are going to be occurring in our generation. So, boy, Tom, thanks for bringing us up to date with what's really going on. Thanks for giving us the human element and the personal perspective that is coming from boots on the ground ministry that isn't going to hit the headlines, that we're going to be buried with during the rest of this duration until something occurs to either punctuate it or amplify it. But God's on the move, and we know that for sure. Jeff?
This has been a special report to you all, and this opportunity to hear more about what's going on the front lines is something that we pray has been an encouragement to you. I'm going to ask you to not only consider the giving opportunities, but also would you commit to, as soon as we stop here, to pray for Israel, pray for the gospel to go out to those that have not heard yet, and for there to be revival that would come as a result of this, and that Jesus' name would be lifted up. Tom, Bob, thank you all. We're committed to praying, and we're committed to giving and being a part of God's work here on this planet. All right. God bless you, everyone. Thank you so much for coming and listening here today.